56 degrees outside our studios here on Columbus Road, and different, isn't it? Mercy. And Don's here. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got to turn my headphones up a bit. There, let's see. That's better. That's better. Anyway, 56 degrees and sunny, but it's going to peak out around 76. I think that'll be maybe around 5 p.m. But overnight, 42. Mercy. Yeah, things are different. But it is fall approaching, right? When is the official kickoff of fall?
I think the 21st. It's either the 20th or 21st.
Of September?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well, that's just a few days away.
Yep.
Anyway, good morning, folks. It is September 15th.
September 23rd.
The 23rd is when...
So that's not next Saturday.
Okay. So a week from tomorrow, fall begins. All right. Well, good morning. And let's see here. What's going on? We've got a free-for-all today. And as we often do, you know, what are some of the historical events that happen on this date? So let's see here. The first one mentioned is in the year 1616, when on this date of September 15th, the first non-aristocratic free public school in Europe is opened. That occurred in Italy. Frascati, I think, is how it's pronounced, the community in Italy. Not Frascati, Frascati. There we go. Well, Frascati. That's in Italy. On this date of September 15th, but the year 1821, the Act of Independence of Central America. Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua declare their independence from the Spanish Empire. Yeah, that was a big deal. 1835, on this date of September 15th, HMS Beagle, with Charles Darwin on board, reaches the Galapagos Islands. I remember reading about that somewhere along the way. Okay, 1916, the first use of tanks in warfare. Little Willies at Battle of Flers Courcelette, I think it is, which was part of the Battle of the Somme, I think, S-O-M-M-E. You know, I think I've mentioned this over the years, but I'll do it again. When I finally ended up in active duty and went to basic training, it was at Fort Knox. And Fort Knox is particularly well known for armor, right? That is to say, the tanks and that sort of thing. And mercy, even though we were in basic training and just marching up and down roads and stuff like that, these huge processions of tanks would be right next to us in a road going somewhere. And man, the ground would shake because of their weight and everything. They were really quite remarkable. Anyway, 1916, the first use of tanks in warfare. 1928, on this date of September 15th, the Scottish bacteriologist Alexander Fleming discovers penicillin while studying influenza. Wow, that was a big one, wasn't it? That discovery. 1940, again on this date, the Battle of Britain Day, climax of the Battle of Britain, tide begins to turn as the Royal Air Force repulses a major Luftwaffe attack, losing 29 aircraft to the Germans. And then it says 57-61. I guess. I really don't know what that part means. I was guessing that maybe Britain had lost 57, the Germans 61 aircraft, but that doesn't make any sense. So anyway, we'll leave it alone. Anyway, the Battle of Britain Day. And the last one of these, it happened on this date, was the year 1992. George Soros, Quantum Fund, begins selling large amounts of pound sterling, labeled the man who broke the Bank of England. When pound crashes out of the ERM next day. Yeah. I remember that. I think I even covered that on the show live here. Okay, famous birthdays. We have four typically, and indeed that's what we have today. Okay, of course, Don, I'll need your help. Some of the names are familiar, some are not. Well, only one of them is not familiar to me, but I still don't know the specifics, if you know what I mean. So first is Agatha Christie. Miss Christie was born on this date in the year 1890, and she died in 1976. Agatha Christie.
She was an English writer known for her 66 detective novels and 14 short story collections,
oh, yes.
Particularly those revolving around fictional detectives Hercule Poirot and Miss Marple.
Yeah. Okay, another showbizer, I'm guessing, is Faye Ray. F-A-Y, last name W-R-A-Y. She was born on this date in 1907 and passed in 2004. Faye Ray, very attractive picture here.
She was a Canadian-American actress best known for starring as Anne Darrow in the 1933 film King Kong.
Oh, yes.
And she has been dubbed one of the early Scream Queens.
Yes, indeed. Good eyes she has. Okay, William Howard Taft, president, if I'm not mistaken, at one point for our nation. He was born on this date in 1857, and he died in 1930. Add a few other things to it. Or was I wrong?
No, you were right. He was the 27th President of the United States and the 10th Chief Justice of the United States, the only person to have held both offices.
That's right.
He was elected President in 1908, the chosen successor of Theodore Roosevelt, but was defeated for re-election in 1912 by Woodrow Wilson mm-hmm. after Roosevelt split the Republican vote by running as a third-party candidate.
Oh, yes. And the legal position he held again besides president was what?
The 10th Chief Justice of the United States.
Okay, and was that before he became president or after?
That was after.
Okay, I thought so.
From 1921 to 1930, he held the Chief Justice.
Until his passing. All right, one more person. And this is the name I recognize, but I don't really have much knowledge about. It's James Fenimore Cooper, who was born on this date in 1789. He passed in 1851. James Fenimore Cooper.
He was an American writer of the first half of the 19th century whose historical romances depicting colonial and indigenous characters from the 17th to 19th centuries brought him fame and fortune. Some of his best-known works are five historical novels of the frontier period, written between 1823 and 1841, known as the Leather Stocking Tales, which introduced the iconic American frontier scout Natty Bumppo, and among his most famous works is the romantic novel The Last of the Mohicans.
Hmm. Okay. We have two famous deaths to share today. Okay. Neither of these are very recent. Isambard Kingdom Brunel. I think I got that close. He was born in 1806, but he died on this date in 1859. He has a very tall hat on in this picture and smoking a cigar. Brunel.
He was a British civil engineer and mechanical engineer who is considered one of the most ingenious and prolific figures in engineering history, one of the 19th century engineering giants, and one of the greatest figures of the Industrial Revolution who changed the face of the English landscape and his groundbreaking designs and ingenious constructions. He built dockyards, the Great Western Railway, a series of steamships, including the first purpose-built transatlantic steamship, and numerous important bridges and tunnels.
Wow. Impressive. Okay, and then the other famous death is that of Thomas Wolfe. Born in 1900, died on this date in 1938. Didn't make it very far. Mr. Wolfe, that's with an E on the end.
He was an American novelist of the early 20th century. He wrote four lengthy novels as well as many short stories, dramatic works, and novellas. He is known for mixing highly original, poetic, rhapsodic, and impressionistic prose with autobiographical writings.
You know, among our famous birthdays, it was the first one we mentioned, Agatha Christie. But I found a note here that says her novels, the books she wrote, and that was what she was best known for, of course, sold about 2 billion copies worldwide. That's quite a statement. All right. Well, we'll set that report aside. Some of the things that are going on news-wise, we'll cover these maybe in multiple times today, but I guess you heard overnight the United Auto Workers are on strike. It goes on, the union's president called for a stand-up strike at 3 plants. What does that mean, a stand-up strike? Does that mean people report for work, but they won't work? I just don't know that expression. They go on that the plants all belong to a different one of the 3 big automakers. Okay, so where's my pen? Oh, I don't. Okay, I'll reach over here and get one out of the tray. All right, so the big three. I have heard this story now for, 3 or 4 days building up, maybe longer. The 3 automakers, I keep waiting for them to say, well, it's Ford, Chevrolet, or whatever, naming the big 3. Who are they? You know?
Yeah.
Because I haven't had any news report that is specifically named which 3 they're talking about. Anyway, going on with this, and Don's looking it up for me. The United Auto Workers is demanding a 36% boost in pay over 4 years. Heads of the car companies say the demands are unrealistic. Now, these plants, there's 3 different plants, and each of them belong to a different one of the big 3. But I still would like to have them say to me what the big 3 are.
I think I found them.
Okay. What do we got?
Ford.
I was suspecting that.
General Motors.
General, GM, okay.
And I've never even heard of this, but Stellantis?
Spell.
Stellantis.
I'll be darned.
So I've never heard of that.
I haven't either. Well, anyway, so that's a big thing going on.
But you also ask what a stand-up strike is.
Oh, yes.
It's a strike that grows over time, giving the national negotiators maximum leverage and maximum flexibility to win a record contract.
Okay. Another big story going on, and this isn't new, but it's also getting bigger by the day. Hunter Biden. the president's son. He now faces 3 criminal counts for allegedly deceiving a gun dealer into selling him a firearm. And he is accused of lying about the fact that he was using illegal drugs at that time, which would have banned him from owning a gun. Owning a firearm. Now, the last sentence here says, this is the first ever indictment of a sitting president's child. How old is Hunter Biden?
I would say probably late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah, I just don't know, but I'd like to.
He's 53.
Is he really?
Born on February 4th, 1970.
Okay. I don't know. My first instinct is... My first inclination is... Why should someone such as President Biden be criticized because of a child that he had who's now in his 50s doing something wrong? Now, I'm not saying I'm pro-Biden or anti-Biden. That's not the point. It's the concept. You know, as a parent, you do your best to guide and mold the future and personality and ethics of your children. Boy, ethics, that was a good word.
Yeah.
But really, after a certain point, they do their own thing. You know what I mean? And, well... Anyway, it's the whole thing's unfortunate, of course. See, what else do we have? The Ukrainian-Russian war. There's always something going on there, and now there's a new mess. And the details I don't have, but come on, folks. I feel badly for the Ukrainians, of course. And I don't understand why Russia is taking these actions, especially. Well, let's see here. Well, there's a bunch of stories about the Ukraine today. None of them specific. It's all just different people concerned. You know, speaking of that, we have a place here in Athens. Well, we have a number of, but one in particular that next week we're going to talk about. It'll be a guest on the show, Holly Dahlman. I think next Wednesday is the date. Yes. There's a secondhand store here called Little Wings. And it's a little hard to find, frankly. It's back behind the mall, and their entry is back in there. And again, a little hard to find, but those of people that are secondhand store enthusiasts, I know one. Anyway, they are very much aware of this store, and it's good sized and has things, secondhand items for sale. But they have taken it upon themselves to assemble all sorts of things that would be helpful to the Ukrainians. And they ship out these large containers, you know, 40 foot long, like semi-trailers, filled with things to the Ukraine. A lot of them are like medical supplies. Excuse me, I didn't mean to cough in your ears, folks. Medical supplies and surplus medical equipment. And, of course, we have another group here locally doing that, too. You know, we're trying to help those folks out.
Yeah, I did a news story on this earlier this week.
On that particular store or the medical equipment?
I think the Little Wing store.
Okay.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but...
Well, Holly is the, I guess you'd say, the owner of that store, and she has a great deal of passion. I think they've sent something like 20 different containers so far to the Ukraine. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she'll be on our show next week. By the way, Jerry Crow is going to be here on Tuesday, the day before. That would be the 19th of September. Jerry is going to talk about the upcoming Albany Festival, right? By the way, Paw Paw Festival gets underway today, and that's a big deal out there at Lake Snowden. Now, one thing I have overheard is that parking is a little bit different this year.
You're not allowed to park at Alexander High School.
Okay.
They said the cars will be towed.
Wonder why. Well, that's a whole different issue.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of parking out there, but it's become such a popular event that it overflows the area they have designated for parking at the Lake Snowden location. So... I think I heard you doing a public service announcement about this, recorded, that was said that there's places in Athens you can park and they'll have transportation to take you out, stuff like that. But anyway, the Paw Paw Festival, look it up, folks. They'll have notes on how to take it in. It's a neat event.
Yeah, the shuttles are... I just had it, and I lost it. There it is. They will stop at Ohio University's Baker Center, lower level, and the Quidel Building, which is located at 2005 East State Street here in Athens.
Where they're putting on that huge new roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And the shuttles will run about... Today, they will run every 30 minutes, but I think tomorrow and Sunday are...
They'll be a little more frequent.
Yes. Yeah, Saturday would also be every 30 minutes, and then Sunday it'll be every hour.
Oh, I see. Less often then. Okay. Well, it's a neat event. And pawpaws, the native fruit, is really kind of cool. Okay, let's see here. I guess we can put this aside. Let's just take a moment and talk about the weather. And let's see, when we started this show... It was 56 degrees outside our studios. We're now up to 58. Wow, big improvement. Anyway, 76 is going to peak out at around 5 p.m. and overnight the low 42. All right, but let's look ahead. So today, sunny, and we gave you the temps. Just a brief breeze, low speed breeze, 3 to 7 miles per hour, northeast. All right, tonight clear with a low around 44. It's 7 a.m. tomorrow. I see it's supposed to be 42. Anyway, then patchy fog before 9 a.m. Otherwise, sunny with a high near 77. Again, a light north wind. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, 20% chance of some showers, particularly after 3 a.m. Now, maybe, are they talking early Sunday morning or early Saturday morning? I think it's after 3 p.m. No, wait a minute. I don't know, but there's a light chance of some showers. On Sunday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible, particularly after 3 p.m. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 70. Chance of precipitation listed at 40%. Next week, Monday, mostly sunny. Tuesday, sunny, 76 the high. Wednesday, sunny, 80 the high. Thursday, again, sunny and 81. So there's a week's worth. Nothing terribly upsetting about that forecast, at least not from that forecast, excuse me, at least not to me. All right, let's see here. So once again, Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis? What is Stellantis? What brands do they make? Help me out, man. All right, that's the big strike that's just gotten underway, I guess. Well, let's see here.
Oh, they do a lot of electric cars.
Okay, but for with what names on them?
Chrysler.
I see.
Hold on.
I truly have not heard this.
Dodge, name. Jeep, Fiat, Chrysler, Maserati.
Oh my!
Yeah.
Okay, so but they're particularly
quite a few.
But they're only electric or primarily electric?
Primarily electric, but now it's saying, but okay, now I'm finding that it's, yeah, here's every car and truck brand now owned by Stellantis, the world's fourth largest automaker. So
here we go. Lay the big ones on us.
Like I said, Maserati, Dodge, Ram, Jeep, Chrysler, Alfa Romeo. I've never even heard
Romeo.
Of them. Romeo.
Romeo.
Yes. I've never even heard of them.
That's all right.
Citroen?
I'm not sure on that one.
Yeah. DS Automobiles. Puget. Well, or Puget.
Peugeot. Well, I get it now.
Yeah. Okay. They have quite a few.
Yeah. And some of them are pretty fancy. And some of them are just good cars. Or good vehicles, rather. All right. Let's see. NASA, yesterday, released its first official report on unidentified anomalous phenomena. Anomalous. Did you get that spelling?
I did not.
Anomalous. Am I making this too complicated? Anomalous. What does that mean? Anonymous, I get that.
Well, yeah.
But what's anomalous?
Yeah, anomalous. It's deviating from what is standard, normal, or expected. So like anomaly, kind of.
Okay. Well, anyway, what's another word for these things? UFOs. Unidentified flying objects, right? It says, finding no evidence that suggests the UAPs have an extraterrestrial origin. This is a 36-page report, and it was compiled or written or conducted by an independent team of experts who relied on unclassified data for the research. This study was initiated by NASA last year to examine how the agency could contribute to the scientific understanding of UAPs, again, unidentified flying objects, I guess, and the need for improved data acquisition methods, such as leveraging Earth observation satellites. Additionally, NASA announced the appointment of a director of this kind of research. The report comes after allegations by a former intelligence officer of a government program to retrieve and reverse engineer UAP craft, which the Defense Department has denied. Wow. Interesting. And, you know, do I think we should look into it? Of course. But that doesn't mean that this is all going to be bad. But we, on the other hand, if it were, we need to be prepared, right? Oh, well. Let's see here. Oh, Las Vegas. I love the city. I've spent some time there. But not, I can tell you, I've only gambled at a slot machine one time in my life. And I had an hour or so to kill before my flight took off, right? So I stayed at the casino, and it was kind of fun. Anyway, it's not the gambling of that in Las Vegas that trips my trigger. It's the entertainment and showbiz and food and, you know, all the that's other stuff. Well, there's a story out today, and I've started to hear about this maybe earlier this week. It says outages at a number of hotels and casinos owned by hospitality giant MGM Resorts stretch now into their fourth day following a ransomware attack earlier this week that forced it to shut down large parts of its internal network. Guests reported hour-long waits at front desks, inoperable slot machines, and all sorts of other issues impacting locations from Las Vegas, but to other cities as well, where they have some sort of connection, such as New York City. Officials linked the hack to a group known as the Scattered Spider, which is a United States and United Kingdom-based collective said to be made up of 19 to 20-year-old people. Reports suggest a fairly non-technical approach was used to gain system entry. Hackers called the company's help desk and imitated an employee found on LinkedIn requesting assistance in accessing their employee account. Also yesterday, reports surfaced that the same group successfully hacked Caesars Entertainment, with the company paying them $15 million in cyber ransom. Wow. What else do we have here? They're going to make a new Star Wars film, right?
Yeah.
And it says that Disney has tapped Donald Glover. Is that how you say his last name? Or is it Glover?
It's Donald Glover.
Okay. Forgive me. Maybe without if I saw his picture, I'd know who that was. But anyway, he's going to star in this new Star Wars film. And the role he's going to play is the lead character of Lando.
That's who he is.
Oh, I think I do recognize him.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. He's also a musical artist that goes by the name of Childish Gambino. I personally don't listen to him, because that's not my type of music that I listen to, but I know who he is.
Remember the TV show that has been on hold for a while, Real Time with Bill Maher? I guess they're going to return to the airwaves here in a few days. Let's see, today is what? 15th. It's going to be a week from now, September 22nd. Why did it stop? Well, the writers' strike, basically. But they have found a way now to bring it back. Let's see here. Okay, this isn't a real pleasant story, but it has some possibilities, evidently. Okay, a pig kidney was transplanted into a brain-dead human patient, and it remains fully functioning for 2 months. doctors and end the experiment after reaching the milestone. Well, the whole thing sounds, you know, a little bit awful, and yet, could it mean that in a good situation with a good outcome, with a good future, a pig kidney could be used to help a human? Interesting. Let's see here. What is a cytokine storm? C-Y-T-O-K-I-N-E. Is that a mental thing that humans could have happened to them? A cytokine storm.
It is, hold on. Various inflammatory cytokines are produced at a, overproduction of cytokines causes positive feedback on other immune cells to occur, which allows for more immune cells to be recruited to the site of injury that can lead to organ damage. And a lot of it has to do with COVID-19 infection.
Okay. Well, the reason I brought the word up is it's used in this story. It says researchers identify a protein that acts as a key switch in triggering cytokine storms, a runaway inflammatory response that can lead to severe symptoms and death. And the results of this discovery may lead to new drugs to halt the condition. All right. Oh, I just came across the big three list on my stories. You found it earlier, but it says Stellantis as well. General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis, which they then in parentheses, I wish I had had this earlier, formerly Fiat Chrysler. Okay. Fair enough. Let's see here. What about politics or world affairs? Severe flooding in eastern Libya. And the death toll could rise to as high as 20,000. Search and rescue efforts continue. By the way, the current toll is above 11,000. But almost that many remain unaccounted for. City of Derna, I think, is the place in Libya that's the most affected. 9:47 now. Let's see here. Let me get my fingers to separate these pages. Okay, I think I mentioned this earlier this week. Of course, 9/11. I saw a program. Was the 11th last Monday?
Yes.
Yeah. I watched a program several times in a row. It was 2 hours in length. It was not a collection of necessarily TV stations taking film and stuff like that. It was more people with their personal cameras. And they assembled all these shots, photographs. Some were motion, some were stills. But one of the networks, not the big ones, but one of the more like history channels, I don't know, played this for 24 hours, I think. So it ran 12 times in a row. And I watched it a couple. And what an amazing collection. And the New York Times has written a story about how 9/11 transformed the New York Times. And Adam Nagorny is, I can't remember if he's an editor, a writer, a columnist, what his role is with the New York Times, but it's important. And he's issuing a book about the New York Times history. But in that, there's a lengthy section about how the 9/11 attack, I don't know if altered's the right word, but brought a lot of things to light about how the New York Times should operate and collect information and stuff like that. Should be an interesting report. Boom, 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 boom. Luddite lessons. Okay. I guess this is some sort of podcast, but there's this video is a historical look at the 19th century English textile workers who fought the adoption of automation by destroying the new machines. Okay, so clothing, cloth, fabric, whatever. You know, when you think of the things that have been made, it used to be all done by hand, and now it's all, not all, but a lot of it's
done by machines.
Done by machines. When that all was starting to take place, the factory workers would do their best to damage those machines to protect their own jobs, right? Kind of interesting. So there's New York Times has written an item about that. Not an item, a lengthy story, actually. All right. Well, it's 9:51. You know, these et cetera statements. I always kind of enjoy looking at those for a moment. Let's see what we've got today. Okay, Picasso. Artist, painter, right? He had a mistress. And he actually did a painting of her. Well, as I understand it, this is about to go up to auction. What are they projecting it will go for? Get this, $120 million.
I was going to just guess a couple million.
$120 million. By the way, we've talked a bit about the Ukraine today. But, you know, one of the cool things about the Ukraine is its night skies. They have amazing view. And the United Kingdom, even better. I got mixed up here for a minute. But the United Kingdom has really remarkable views of the Northern Lights at night. That's kind of neat. Um, Here's a statement that is a little troubling. It says, Americans have mixed views on the future of the family. Oh. Another one-liner, visualizing the world's power sources. And in this item, I think I saw a blurb on this. They were really talking about power generation, not like political power or something like that. So. Here's a story about a student who built an electric vehicle. I don't know how old this student is, but anyway, this electrical vehicle is capable of 60 miles per hour in under 1 second. No, this can't be. A car can't go 0 to 60 in 1 second. How can this be? Well, that's what they say, and I guess there's a video to of this. I'd want to see this. An electric vehicle that a student built and designed that hits 60 miles per hour in under a second. Whew. Wonder if there's any tires left. All right, let's see here. Okay, I guess we've covered those pretty well. Bum, 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 bum. Well, I pulled an article or a stack of stories over here. And this is called Headlines. And so far, the first page of which, we've done all of these. Oh, the lawnmower's working outside. Maybe you can hear it, folks. Yeah. We've done that page, too. Oh, here's an interesting one. I haven't mentioned this in the last few days, but there's a story out. It's an opinion, an op-ed piece in the New York Times saying that people don't want to be teachers anymore. Can you blame them? Question mark.
No.
And Jessica Gross basically says, we're in a moment of really acute crisis for the profession. Yeah. You know, I was a soccer coach at Athens High School for, 14 years? Something like that. And then I taught over at the School of Journalism at Ohio University. And I loved the experiences. I see men on the street who used to be kids that I had. And, you know, it is so cool. You know, one of them is a very well-known surgeon here locally, Sergio.
Huh.
And I had him all through high school as a soccer player. And Ulloa, Sergio, Dr. Ulloa, folks. But he's an orthopedic surgeon now.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, and there's others I could mention, but that's just one that popped into my head real quick. But did I have an unpleasant experience teaching? I really didn't have much. I was a senior class advisor for a few years. In fact, now that I mention it, Sergio was the class president back then. I did that for, I think, 4 years, senior class advisor at Athens High School. That was, I've thoroughly enjoyed all of that. And you know how Athens has this famous thing called the Follies, the senior class Follies?
Yeah.
You know, one of your jobs as the senior advisor, senior class advisor, is to keep that from getting out of hand. You know, wow. You sit there pretty nervous. And, you know, you go, you're at all the rehearsals and you have to say, no, you can't say that. Or you, you know, no, you've gone too far with something or whatever. Trying to keep it under some level of control. And I'm pleased to say during my 4 years in that role, things were okay. Even cool. Well, we're nearly out of time, folks, and the weekend is here. How about that? CBS News is next in sound. Once again, if you tuned in late next week on Monday and Friday, at this point, we're going to have free-for-alls. Tuesday, Jerry Crow about the Albany Festival. Wednesday, Holly Dahlman with Little Wings and what they're doing for the Ukraine. That's a secondhand store. Okay, folks, be careful out there. Don, we'll see you next week.
In our 73rd year of serving Southeast Ohio, AM 970 and 97.3 FM.